side in the negative.
Perhaps the kidnappers are keeping quiet to put additional pressure on us, so we will jump at their first offer.
That's ridiculous. They have to know Five is ready to pay anything to get him back.
He could be dead, killed trying to get away, or in an accident. There could be nothing for them to ransom.
With an attack this well planned and executed, I seriously doubt that an accident of any kind would be allowed to happen. And if he was killed on purpose to prove some political or economic point, we would have found his body along with the others.
There's nothing we can do about the situation until we are contacted by the kidnappers. And of course, keep each other fully apprised of any developments. What about advertising the kidnapping on the Tellus? We could offer a reward for the safe return of Shadow Man.
That would definitely get him killed, if he isn't already.
We have to face facts. Regrettable though it is, it might not be possible for us to recoup our investment in this man. We have to remember that he isn't irreplaceable. After we make the crossing, we can capture another informant. Any number of informants.
And you're saying?
That writing off our first specimen is always a viable option.
While the others considered this, Huth could imagine how hard the bushes were going to be beaten to find Ryan Cawdor. Looking into the icy faces of the CEOs, Huth had a moment of crystal clarity. He knew that one of them had done it. Out of stupid, ham-fisted greed, one of them had done it. He wanted to shout in outrage, he wanted to weep. But he knew better. By the tight, fixed expressions of the CEOs, he knew that all of them knew it too. What this meant, in terms of the survival of Earthborn members of the human species, was simple. They weren't going to make it. Everything that Five had pulled together in order to open the passage and make the exodus possible was going to fall apart once the Globals started accusing one another of betrayal. To operate the system, it took huge contributions of nuke power from each of the economic giants, contributions that would be withdrawn when critical treaties were torn up. At some point, hours, maybe days away, the shit would surely hit the fan. The armies of individual Globals would battle for control of the Totality Concept Complex. But by then, it wouldn't matter. No one else would be making the crossing, ever.
May I offer a suggestion?
Please do.
Let's not jump to any conclusions about what is going on here yet. Let's sit tight for another few hours. If there's been no word from the kidnappers by then, a decision on a plan of action will have to be made.
There were nods all around. The strategy was comfortingly familiar. When in doubt, freeze. Huth had bought himself a tiny window of time. On his back, inside his coffin-like, executive-grade sleep cubicle, the director of the Totality Concept's most advanced research program sorted his worldly possessions. From the storage bins along the left-hand wall, he took his spare pair of socks, his two alternate pairs of underwear, and a pair of plastic jogging boots. All of these he stuffed into a rucksack. The bitterness that filled him at that moment was most terrible. His had been a distinguished career in science, a lifetime devoted to the pursuit of knowledge, to rationality, to the betterment of his species. At the top of his form, the peak of his game, he had had a success beyond imagining, beyond compare. He had discovered the true salvation of humankind, sanctuary for the desperate billions. And it had all come down to this. Huth felt as if he were standing alone on an immense sandy beach, under an empty sky, watching the ominous shadow of a tidal wave loom on the horizon. He had no intention of meekly waiting for the wave to break. From an overhead compartment he took his only warm coat, a quilted nylon flight jacket, his navy blue knit cap, and a pair of insulated gloves, and put them into the backpack. That part of the packing was simple. His collection of worldly goods was pathetic. He counted himself lucky he hadn't been born a CEO. The choices would have been so much more difficult. What was infinitely harder under the circumstances was deciding what scientific equipment, if any, to take with him. Therein, perhaps, lay the biggest tragedy of all. 99.9% of the gear he relied on in his daily work would be worthless on the other side of the rift. It only functioned thanks to a global support network of power sources, of other gear, and an elaborate social and economic system of other scientists, industry, and government. Even if he could power the equipment, without the social and economic system, his results would be meaningless. What did the quality of uranium ore in Bolivia matter if there was no way to refine it, if there was no way to use it once it was refined? Under such conditions, applied science would have the same effect as a tree falling in a deserted forest, which was the exact opposite of what Five had planned. In the history of humankind on either world, only a handful of times had such technologically advanced and primitive cultures collided. Huth, off the top of his head, could think of only a single example, when 20th century explorers made contact with the Stone Age people of New Guinea. Though there weren't thousands of years of development separating the two parallel Earths, thanks to the juggernaut of scientific progress, there might as well have been. That gap was destined to remain, despite Huth's genius, insight, and monumental effort. Anticipating the consequences of an unstoppable population explosion, he had shifted the focus of Operation Cerberus, originally devoted to purely military experiments in time travel, to resource acquisition, using the Troll technology to try to exploit the past and the future for needed raw materials. Based on the success of the famous Theophilus Tanner studies, he had reasoned that if it was possible to troll a live human being from a century back, it might also be possible to troll the necessities of life. Unfortunately, this turned out not to be the case. Because of a law of diminishing returns, it was impossible to rob Peter to pay Paul. It took more energy to bring resources across the barrier than could ever be recovered from them. During one of the experiments, Huth had caused the passageway to materialize by accident. At first, he wasn't sure what he had discovered. Robotic probes sent across the rift and then retrieved showed the atmosphere on the other side was breathable. Rock samples displayed the same characteristics as those found on Earth. DNA tests of the plants and animals the robots brought back proved they had common ancestries with life on Earth. And the mutation rates gave Huth an idea of the relative age of the two planets. It told him that they were, in fact, the same place in different universes. When a plan to shift resources along the passageway, to essentially refuel Earth by strip mining Shadow World, also failed for reasons of energy conservation, Five decided to move people to the resources instead. Of course, the massive shift in population described in the Tellus was nothing but claptrap. 9/10 of humanity was redundant by any standard, biologically unnecessary for the perpetuation of the species, economically unnecessary because there was nothing for them to do, no living for them to make, socially unnecessary because they were uneducated clones of one another. Eat, breed, die. That was all they were any good at. As Huth slipped out of his cubicle and turned out the light, he thought how hard it was to have sympathy for people that selfish. Sagging back against the tunnel wall, molten lava filling his chest, Ryan could only watch as Dam and Nara took turns stabbing each other in the lungs with similar long-needled hypodermics. Teeth clenched, eyes pressed shut, as thumbs pressed the plungers home. A grim performance, and one that he didn't understand. Having murdered him, were they committing suicide rather than be captured? After administering the injections, Dam and Nara jerked out the hypos and dropped them on the ground.
Feel better?
The Mercy pulled Ryan to his feet and urged him onward. Cotter was unable to reply.
Well, you should start to in another few seconds. Come on, we've got to make it into the fog or we're dead.
With every step he took, Ryan could feel the tremendous weight lifting from his chest. Whatever damage shot him up with, it worked like a charm. By the time he reached the wall of mist, he was jogging without pain and breathing almost normally. As he stepped inside the edge of the fog, a roar of engines and clank of tracks made him look back. Behind them, two APCs were in full pursuit. He saw four figures in black armor run across the tunnel and climb on the side of the rearmost vehicle, scrambling to stand on its fenders. A hand gripped his wrist and squeezed. It was Dam. He had hold of both Ryan and Nara, and he drew them deeper into the mist, leading them over to the right side of the tunnel. Visibility was no more than a foot. The air was dripping wet. Ryan had to stifle the urge to cough. The clanking grew ever louder.